The thing that it's just, I can't tell you how frustrating it is for me not to be able to explain this mystery of Christ in you. And it struck me last night when I was, just sort of wondering why a particular conversation I had, it's like I was talking to a brick wall. And it's that we try with everything in us to understand Christ by looking at us, by our own experience, by the things that that we try to understand everything else with. And it can't be done. You cannot understand who this man was or is by the use of comparing him, or what's that, contrast and compare. If the human race, or what you know about man, is the basis of it. The only way you can understand him from this is to be apprehended by him. And the only way you can be apprehended by him is when you are so fully convinced that everything that you know about is wrong. Now, that sounds dramatic, but it's singularly true. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there isn't a way to do it. Maybe we just.
It's like yesterday. You talk and you talk and you talk, and it's like until God reveals it. Like Peter knew Christ a long time, but until God revealed who he was, it didn't matter what he did or said. Tough position for a teacher.
Well, the only thing I know to do is what John the Baptist said: bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. In by showing, and I maybe this is where I failed, by trying to show you that every act of human effort or human thought or human endeavor is vanity, is empty, is futile, is meaningless. We've talked for months and years about, well, what about the good people? They don't exist if you believe the words of Christ. He said, don't even call him good. There's one good, which is my Father. And so, well, then, what is it that's going on? And I think what it is that apart from an experiential understanding of your own emptiness, of your own futility. I mean, in every area, in your mind, in your activities, in your relationships, it's hardwired that we have to sort of compare him to us. And it's like, no man knoweth the Son. That's the clear scripture statement. In Matthew 11, no man can know the Son. We don't have what it takes No man, apart from a revelation of Christ, would ever conceive that the essence, the entire nature, the nub of sin is self-realization or self-getting something. Self-getting understanding or anything. There's no basis in human experience for us to be able to say that my attempts to better myself, even spiritually, are the bottom line, the essence of what sin is. And who could conceive that? Well, I'm just trying to do the best I can. That's what's been frustrating to Harry for all these years.
This is how God so effectively hid the gospel.
It's been, but He has called you out and me out to reveal it. Now, you know, I've tried to use the golem examples, you know, of where in the golem legend, and tried to use all kinds of other ways of talking about. I mean, you got to see that this, if you believe the scriptures, that man was formed from the dust of the earth. And if you really want to see, if you believe, you know, if you I think you like these kind of stories. But man was created the best that he could be. He was the most perfect in intellect, in ability, in every possible way. Remember, all men are animals compared to Adam, and all women are apes and compared to Eve. And it's, we can't conceive of that. We can't conceive. We have to believe, even if we say we don't, we really believe in evolution. It's like with reincarnation. If every generation didn't have a belief in reincarnation, you would invent one. Because it gives, the main thing that this idea of reincarnated, it gives you an opportunity to excuse your bad behavior to the poor. Because they are, so that's how the caste system developed in India and everything else, because, you know, that's their karma. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I know that there's a voice in my head that says that's right or that's wrong or that's good or that's bad, and I've fallen back into darkness.
Aye, man. Adam had dominion over everything except himself. That was the exclusive arena of God. And if you really look at it, what the fall was about, and the reason Adam was so easily seduced, is the same reason that we are so easily seduced. He wanted to be in control of yourself. You know, I used to, my mantra, I never really was very interested in money. I just wanted freedom. But freedom meant to me, I wanted to be in control of everything. That was the only way that I could be free in my mind. Not control of everything in my limited world. I don't care about the world domination crap. But isn't that your real definition of what you think freedom is? You want to be in control of your life? That's what most people's definition is. You want the things in your life to go in an ordered way. You want enough money to be able to, you know, to have what you want when you want it without waiting. You want...
It's a way to affect my judgments.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a self-fulfilling thing. It's, I judge that to be good. Now I'm going to control the situation where that is good and this is bad.
But think about it. Think about all the examples that were used in the scriptures. A lily growing, a bird flying, a squirrel. No, he didn't use a squirrel, never mind. He should have used a squirrel. A plant growing, a vine with a branch on it. You're not the vine, you're the branch. I mean, there is abject lack of any aspect of the control of what's going to happen next. Pete got upset at me yesterday because I busted him about his punch list in the morning. I wasn't busting him, I was just using it as an example.
But you couldn't figure out what that had to do with patience. Punch list, patience.
Well, they both start with P.
You thought that was being busted?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
he's just saying, he's putting his twist on.
I'm twisting it. But it's to Pete, it's being busted just as much as any time I bust you. Oh, yeah, no, it's just that he is less rebellious than you are.
Oh, God.
Oh.
You're really in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, this isn't about this. This is about... This is about control. You have, and again, what I was talking about yesterday with regard to Harry's to-do lists or your punch lists, it's our attempt, and I do the same thing, it's our attempt to be able to control so we don't forget something and we out of control. Right? And we judge that to be a good thing. In fact, I constantly kid Pete about it because he's, I mean, Pete leaves everything everywhere. I mean, he leaves his wallet and his tools all over him. But
I don't know whether or not he's been in the office.
I know. But the point of it, that's there's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just part of Pete. You know, Gary makes stupid statements and thinks they're spiritual. There's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just Gary.
And they wonder where Jewish humor came from.
Yeah, and John Bojo just sits there and like the mother lion and playing with her. I mean, being tolerant of her cubs.
Being tolerant,
but he's one step away.
You know, it's not surprising that John and John get along.
I know. Except, see, he doesn't. John, this John, John B. wasn't around when John R. was in his element.
Full flower.
But you don't know how I long for you to, when your mind says these things. Or just, you know, I wouldn't talk to Pete about his punch list yesterday because I didn't want it to be privatized. I want it to be all of us. You know, and I'm not saying don't do something about it. I'm just saying that our need for control is the evidence of our need and desire and inherent thing about self-realization or wanting. And so how can you repent of it if you don't know that there's anything wrong with it? How could Gary repent of thoughts when those thoughts were so sweet to him? And so the mystery of all this is, and that's why it's so vital that you don't debate in your mind, that you speak it out. I mean, if I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. Well, I can't discuss anything because you'll yell at me. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But this is kind of important stuff. There's nothing in your life, in my life, that's more important. if there's no private interpretation of Scripture, then well, I can't, you know, that's what Ollie likes to believe, but I have my own belief. Well, yeah, but if that's true, then there's private interpretation of Scripture. I mean, when I talked yesterday about you've got to push everything to limit, to test it, this is what I'm talking about. You can't let there be any arena that is self-argued.
You know, that is a self-fulfilling Scripture. That there's no private interpretation of Scripture. Because the moment it's private, it's about you, not about Christ. Because you have constructed them in some vast form.
That's true, but that's not what that Scripture says. The Scripture says this is only one interpretation. And that interpretation is Jesus Christ.
It doesn't say there's no private interpretation.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that... It means there are no denominations. It means what you think about the Scriptures is really immaterial, and what denominations think about them are immaterial. And whether
this is interesting, because when I say something to you, I don't think you hear what I say, and no wonder you don't think I understand. Or other people, because I said basically the same thing you did in my mind, and that's what I'm saying. But you say it as if I said something different. And it's always a little bit, then I have to fight you a little bit.
That particular example isn't a good one because, I mean, that's why you're an elder, because you do bring it up. If you didn't bring it up and sat there like a bump in a log...
I'm not an elder because of my wisdom.
No. And I'm not whatever I am because of anything, my wisdom.
Because if it had to be that, I'm totally lacking. I like that because, you're an elder or whatever you are because of your emptiness, not because of what you gained in knowledge and superior intellect of gospel.
Oh, hell no. I don't, I mean...
An elder because you're old.
Josanna is an elder because she's makes fun of me. You know, she's always made fun of me. You didn't always? It's just what I remember. Have you ever been nice to me?
Yeah.
Once or twice. But I'd be bored if Judy and Josanna were nice to me. I mean, or didn't say what they didn't argue with me. Or, my God. Anyway, that's not about the thing about. Think of there's something like 160,000 denominations, twists of denominations in Christianity. There's worldwide 160,000. Some ungodly number. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's huge. Huh? Well, if it's more than one, it's from God's perspective, it's huge. But God's never. We're never going to have unity with regard to denominations because we don't have unity with regard to, in our attempts at unity, and we can only have unity if we compromise. And that's probably not going to happen. And so what you think about, the fact that there are no private interpretations of Scripture isn't, again, something that you should try not to have a private interpretation. It's an eternal fact. That's what I was getting to. I mean, I was looking at it not from...
What's the fact that there is none.
Right. And the fact that you have a private interpretation because you say what this means to me is meaningless.
Right. The minute you say that,
then you've privatized it. I mean, it's again, this idea that there are no options is the most comforting thing there is in the Bible to me. Because if there were options, then I'd have to make sure I chose the right one. Am I boring you, Harry?
No, thank you. I was listening to every syllable you uttered.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking about. I was thinking about the first thing that you said this morning about you cannot know Jesus Christ until you have to be apprehended, and you can't be apprehended until you know that everything that you think you know is wrong. I mean, I'm back there. I mean, we try to create God in our own image. We do create God in our own. And then look for it. And we're so, I mean, I guess because we're conscious, we're such the center of the universe that we unquestionably know that God is a better version of us.
Your microphone's
in
your shirt.
Just pop to the shirt.
Just the cocaine is in the
pop to the hand.
Cocaine is in the diaper bag.
Now, what did I do with it?
Well, if you're going to be interested in this thing.
I hid the microphone. Jesus Christ is of a different nature, of a different substance, a different genus, a different species than we are. You have been infected by the best way to call it is a germ or a virus that is slowly penetrating your entire being. It's one of those really bad horror movies. It's not that the infection or the virus that you've received is bad. It's your only hope. But you're fighting it. You're fighting what you perceive to be a disease with everything in you. You're using every homeopathic thing to fight that disease, because that disease, that virus that you've infected is deadly. Now that virus has infected the entire human race, but they believe it's a choice of conscience, it's a choice of will. That's why when Christ was when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, it was the death of the human race. And that's what, maybe that's the way I have to describe it.
This right now goes, whichever the Gospels it is that says the light came into the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. That whole talk is about what you just said. The virus is the truth and we're a lie and we're trying to keep the truth from coming out, and the truth is devouring the darknesses.
But that's the only way you can understand. I mean, the other way is by using the idea of leaven. The leaven which is forbidden in all sacrifices except the Feast of Pentecost. It's the only sacrifice that was ever leavened. Why? To show you what the mystery of Christ is. But the only hope in you is the leaven. The only hope in you is the virus. But everything in you is trying to kill that virus, because it's the most dangerous virus that has ever been. It's a weapon of mass destruction. But it's the death knell, not just of a few people in a metropolitan area, It's the death knell of the universe. Does that say it starkly enough? No. This is big. How can you return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world when you know this?
I just saw a great deception that I've been laboring under when Harry was speaking about seeing something. It's like that moment you see something is just like, oh, brilliance, the light comes on and you see it. Same as when Peter saw who Christ was. Brilliant light.
2 seconds later, get thee behind me, Satan.
Get thee behind me, Satan. And that just really clicked now, because I thought the revelation was the it, but it's what followed. Because in 10 minutes, you'll deny the very thing you saw.
That's why it says, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. For the hearer is one, and he hears the great word. He has an insta, boom, wow, boom, bam, web revelation, bing, excitement. But straight away, he forgets what manner of man he was, and he just neglects the perfect law of liberty, because it's just... And that's why you forget. Well, how can you forget? Can a mother forget a suckling child on her breast? Of course not. You can't forget if you see.
Well, what happened to Peter? What is that process if it's not forgetting? He saw, and then 2 seconds later, he rejected. I mean, if something happened...
That happened. Peter did that for your benefit.
Well, why do I do it, though?
Because you like it. It's sweet. Because it's privatized. It sets you above everybody.
Yeah, Peter was saying, I know a better way.
Why did he say, get thee behind me, Satan? Remember? After he had the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you remember why he said?
Thou savest the things of men.
What did he say? He was going to save Christ's life.
Right.
And that was the highest you could get. Yeah. Not just, oh, this is nice, I'm going to think about this for a while.
Yeah, he must have really been pumped. Christ said, oh, God has revealed this to you. That's why the thing about instant repentance, if you don't get rid of it quick, it
pollutes everything. But again, it's there's no way you can win. The virus has won. You've been infected. The very fact that you're here, it means that it's over. It doesn't matter whether you physically leave. You cannot hear. You can't. I mean, the reason I know that is because it's true for everybody.
I didn't follow what you just said. It doesn't matter if you leave what. The truth is still the truth.
Yeah, I mean, if you... It doesn't matter if you decide... You know, you're going to go to West Jesus instead of staying here, or go to...
Yeah. It's too late, and it's always been good.
It's never. It's not that we didn't do anything about it, or nobody paid any. It was already too late before you ever heard anybody talk like me. I mean, it's not. You know, God isn't Lord of your life. When you decide to accept him, that puts you above him. I mean, he's always been and always is. He's not waiting for anything that us puny humans are going to do. Oh, he's waiting until.
I just thought of that wonderful moment in every Roadrunner cartoon where the coyote stops and looks and realizes, and then boom. It's just that wonderful moment of realization that he's out there and it's too freaking late.
Well, that's what, when we study this, who is Jesus, or we look at what your mind is doing, the only thing that your mind can do is crucify him. It can't do anything else. Because your mind is the instead of Christ. So, I pray that you see that.
Yeah, and hearing all this doesn't cause your mind to be something else, something different.
No, the only thing that causes you is to find out that your mind has never been your friend. Your mind has always been your mortal enemy. Oh, but I won the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, and then 5 minutes later, you're miserable.
I should have won it.
For what?
You know. My mind has been redeemed, though, because I've accepted Christ.
Well, believe that when you're... That's the big... That's the comic book that I can't believe anybody believes at the core of their being. That's why. That's where you have to be an honest liar to. Did I offend anybody today? If not, I failed.
The last three mornings, I was thinking of that verse by Paul, but I can't remember it right. Did he say, "I'm determined to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified," or preach?
I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, any other characteristic about you is meaningless.
I forgot the among you part. That's different. I was thinking it was like a plan for, you know, mental discipline.
but the only issue that in that arena is that, and this is when Paul said in Romans that I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. Don't just start repeating little verses, even the red words, because it hasn't, isn't meaningless, because it's not life in you, because it hasn't been, the virus hasn't, you're just talking about it instead of living it. Did the virus thing help anybody understand a little better? You are mortally ill, deathly sick. Actually, you're already dead from that virus, but you have this appearance of life. Yeah, flesh eating. What?
I was thinking that what Peter did by, you know, wanting to save Christ is the same thing as people that are protesting this cartoon. They have to defend God. Yeah. Christ is saying, lay my life down, I'm going to be killed in the most obscene, shameful way. And that was offensive.
It's again, it's...
I can't let that happen to my Christ.
It's just, you know, the reason that God let there be Muslims is so Baptists could see themselves. Or anybody else. But it sounds better if you say Baptists. Do you think we have any listeners left? Take it, big guy.